Good morning, church. Once again, it's an honor to be here with you and sharing the word of God this morning. And, you know, we talked earlier, or there was an they did the explanation of the altar. And we're going to talk a little bit, something that reflects kind of like an altar, I say. But I want to ask God to help me before I start speaking this morning. So let's bow our heads one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here sharing the word. Please, I want to be your tool. Help me to express my words, to be able to be understood, but I want to be the tool that you would use to share the word. I ask this in your name. Amen. After 40 years, the Israelites were almost at the promised land. Moses had died, and Joshua was the new leader of the people. By choosing these two leaders, God had special miracles done or worked through so that they could believe that God was going to be with them at all time. When Moses began his mission, the Red Sea opened up. When Joshua began his journey, the waters of the Jordan River opened up. In the days of Joshua, the journey was impressive. The waters of the Jordan River stopped and formed a dam. I don't know if y'all can imagine big walls of water not going anywhere. But after they all passed, they were asked to pick 12 stones, to collect 12 stones as a symbol of liberation. God was thinking of the new generation. And when the children would ask their parents tomorrow, saying, "What do these stones mean?" You will answer them that the waters of the Jordan were divided before the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, and these stones will serve as a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Amen. It doesn't really say it was a altar, but I want to imagine that that's what it was. It's kind of like what we are talking about, the altar of the adventures. It's a reminder to our adventures that we have to respect the adventure law. Same thing with this. And you know, as family, church, and educators, we need to reflect on the type of stones that we are leaving to the new generation. What are we doing so that in the future of our children, what are we doing so that in the future our children continue to walk with the Lord and remain faithful to Him? Family plays a big fundamental role. If the parents were intentional, coherent, and if they would offer an education with Christian values, they will place stones that will last a lifetime and reach eternity. The church also plays a big part in this. The church also has precious tools, such as a network of schools, the Pathfinder Adventure Clubs in the church, Sabbath School Department. These ministries have supportive material, appropriate language, and leaders committed to the values of our faith, which mark a huge and positive difference in our kids. I know probably here in Beaumont there's not an Adventist Christian school. I may be wrong. I don't know. But our teachers that work for the Seventh-day Adventist Christian schools have a positive impact in our kids. Why? Because they have our kids for hours of the week where they're molding them, when they're teaching them. And in our Christian schools, the first thing that they teach them is about the Bible. It's about God. So they play a big role. Our teachers in our education system, they play a big role. However, they need to understand that their mission goes beyond teaching. They need to transform lives. In the school phase, we need stones that leave deep marks in the walk with the Lord. Our teenagers and young children are preparing to enter the New Jerusalem and desperately need spiritual references. Do what you can to have a real experience with God. That way, new generations will keep our hope alive. At the dawn of human history, there was a faithful father to whom God took to heaven. His name is Enoch. He was a good follower of God and was even better when his son Methuselah was born. Fatherhood helped him be better understanding that fatherhood of God, helped him better understand the fatherhood of God. Ellen G. White explains, after the birth of his first son, Enoch reached a higher experience. He was as attracted to a more intimate relationship with God, and he fully understood his own obligation and responsibilities as a son of God. When he met his son's love for him and the simple confidence of the child in his protection, he felt deeply and yearning tenderness of his heart towards his firstborn. He learned the precious lessons of God's wonderful love for man manifested in his son's gift and the trust that God's children could have in the Heavenly Father. Enoch was a friend of God. He saw in a vision story of salvation and the advent of the King of Kings. He lived glorious days with the divine friend and walked so close to God that he was taken to heaven. Enoch represents children of God on earth, whose communion with him is so constant and narrow that the world for them is uncomfortable, unpleasant, hostile place. He represents fathers and mothers who gather their children every day to meditate on the Lord of God in his goodness and mercy, and in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Such parents and educators live in the world, but dream of having and carry on the face of beauty and holiness and are mature Christians. And I want to leave you with this morning. If you are a father or mother, be like Enoch. Be a friend of God. And be caretakers of your children.